Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. It's a Monday evening and Edwin's on again. Hi Edwin, how are you doing?
You ask how I'm doing, Martin. That's not a question. The question is, how is Jose doing? He got he got interrupted, or let's say he got visited by the FBI of late. And I'm not talking about the American FBI, Martin, just in case our followers, you know, start asking all sorts of questions. He's being raided by friendly birds of other interest.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. He's finding things a bit stressful, is he?
Oh, very much so. I'm sure he feels Trump's pain. So from pigeons to lorikeets to kookaburras and, you know, all sorts of feathered friends that are just starting to take up nesting in his high-rise development. Or is it the lack of accommodation out in the mountains? I don't know. It's one of the two.
Well, obviously, immigration is on the way up.
Well, maybe we've got Indian. What is it? What do they call those? The migrated over from Southeast Asia. Those birds. Anyway, whatever. But I know the. There are a lot of foreign birds that have come down from Queensland. I know that for sure. I just hope we don't get the toads.
They're inching their way down, aren't they, year by year. So eventually, presumably, they'll land here, but hopefully not for some time. But talking of migration, well, what did we say a few months ago? What did we say, right?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I mean, let's go back a few episodes and let's see. But but in all this, Martin, as what we're going to be talking about later on, is the fact that there's, you know, both governments, governments of local, state, and federal, they've all forgotten the renters. It's a forgotten generation. Yep. It's a forgotten. It's almost like it's a dirty word.
Yep.
I would say, and this is my prediction over the next few weeks, if not a couple of months, is they're going to change the wording of rental stress. Now we got, they've been changing the wording around recession and depression and inflation. I reckon they're going to be changing the wording of rental stress. They're going to start calling it something else, but I don't know what it is yet. But fractional rental, something like that.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it is a mother of a problem, isn't it? Right, we've got nearly 2 million households, according to my surveys, in rental stress across the country, and it's been going up and going up and going up. And nothing that I see is changing that. In fact, I have so many people write to me and say, "I've just had my rent put up," and in some cases, the rent's going up not just 5% or 10%, but 15% or 20%. Can you believe?
Look, I can, and it's because the legislation isn't very clear. All the legislation says, or the regulations, all they specify is a reasonable rental increase. And there are things that you've got to do in order to, in order to rebut those rental increase notices that you've been given. But look, here's a tip, an early tip is, if you're still in the fixed term lease, don't wait until the end before you negotiate. Start negotiating, a couple of months, a few months before you get to the end of your fixed term lease. And particularly if you're being a good tenant, particularly if you've been in a property for 2 or 3 years and you've got your children, you're attending local, you know, whether it be yourself or your spouse or your partner, your children attending local schools, local work facilities, other places of entertainment, sporting arenas, whatever the case may be. Well, when you're in an area, it's very difficult to move when you've, yeah, if it's yourself, you can pack up your bags and probably put it all in one van and move on. But when you've got a family to attend to as well, it becomes very, very hard. So we find that these rental increase notices are simply because people are finding that we're getting back to the normality, you could say, where we were pre-pandemic. And therefore the landlords can increase the rent. There's no, you know, there's no subsidies, there's no moratoriums, all these things are gone. And now there's a lot of pressure. I see a lot of this rental stress happening more around homes and townhouses and villas, more so than in apartment complexes. That's a given because people don't want to live in those confined dog boxes that have got very little ventilation, albeit they may have mechanical ventilation, but there's all sorts of issues. There are more issues now that they found out about flammable cladding in Victoria, and no doubt there's, I think we still got about 250 or 260 high-rise developments in Sydney alone that they haven't notified the occupants with respect to the issues that they have around flammable cladding as well. So you've got all these inherent issues around high-rise development. So there's a push for homes. And here we have it, Martin, as we're going to be talking about later on, how do you soften the property market falls? How do you cushion it? Well, you push those immigration levers. And lo and behold, what have we been saying? The libs and the labs, they're just... the left wing and the right wing of the same vulture.
Yeah, there's no difference really. They're both driven by neoliberalism. And, we'll talk a bit later in more detail. Labour's basically come out and said, we're going to increase migration. We're going to try and get more professionals and take account of international qualifications to bring them in and make them productive, quote unquote. What did we say? A few months ago, we were going through the list of things that we would expect them to do, right? And migration was right up there, and that's where we are now.
Yeah, look, that's where we are, and there's obviously one of the things that hope to God doesn't happen. But we've been talking about is a potential war closer to our shores, not necessarily with us involved, but with us supporting whatever nation's involved, or whatever nation the US, our master decides to get involved with. We're miles, thousands of miles apart away from the Ukraine. But if something happens between China and Taiwan, well, that's another, another way. But all these things that are happening globally, and I saw a video during the week that you brought out with regards, and some you had a lot to say with regards to the RBA and the digital currency that they're trialing, $180 million put towards that. But again, how long have we been talking about it? How long have we been talking about all these changes? How long have you and John Adams been talking about it as well, and Robbie Barwick about the cashless society and all these things? So again, with how we sort of left it off last week, is that is it all orchestrated? Is it all just happening haphazardly? One gets the feeling that it's more orchestrated than a haphazard turn of events, and in the public, putting a political group in power or seemingly the opposition in power. Are they really the opposition? What's behind? But it's there are things that you and I can't control in the greater greater world, in the greater forces to be. But there are some things that we can control. Within our own domain and within our own households, and hopefully that's the message that we get across to people when they make their decisions in buying or renting or moving forward with property investment or anything to do with properties.
Well, maybe we should stop talking about all of this stuff, because it almost seems to me that you and I talk about something and a few weeks later it starts to happen.
Yeah, we should take a break. Yeah, I don't know, Martin. I think it's, I guess you could say that we've been around the traps a few, we've been around the block a few times.
Yep.
And
the signs, the point is, when the signs are there, if you want to see them, the signs are there, right? The point is, all we're doing is just calling out the signs that are out there. It's just that sometimes people prefer to look the other way, whereas we want to look into it and talk about it and raise awareness of it, because hopefully people are a little bit more informed earlier, which in theory may be a little bit easier to cope with what's going on. But it does sometimes feel like, well, maybe we should just shut up for 6 weeks and see whether that stops it all.
Yeah, look, the good thing is that we get is like yourself and those emails that you forward on to me from our followers, and also we get the DMs through through Twitter and other platforms. And that is that a lot of people have taken our advice. A lot of people have been cautious and been very careful as to what they buy and you know how they buy or how they enter the negotiations and try to get closer, closer to logic than to emotion. You can't avoid being emotionally vested in a purchase or the sale of a property or the signing of a new lease, or having to look for a new rental. You can't but be emotionally invested. But it's how much of the emotion dictates what you're going to do or how you're going to go about things, or whether how much of the emotion clouds logic is what one's got to be careful. Yeah, there are lifelong choices that we make, and there are things that we make, and we are, there is a percentage or a level of emotion that's always invested. You can't say that we're, that you're black and white about these sort of transactions. One, because it does, at the end of the day, we're not dealing with, with a few hundred thousand dollars. In some cases, where people are dealing in the millions, or as we spoke earlier on with regards to the rental stresses, they're dealing with not only one lifestyle, but many lifestyles in the household.
No, absolutely. Well, I guess all we can do is go on calling it the way we see it. And talking of that, of course, interestingly, the WeChat chats are a bit quiet at the moment.
Oh, look, they are. The international chatters are very quiet. Nothing much to be reported other than your typical issues that we've discussed in the past. But what's more interesting is the local chatterers, what they're saying, what they're obviously that's been running hot for the last three weeks with regards to pretty much all in. They're all in now. They're a lot of the groups that we monitor, they're the people involved in those groups, they are pretty much cashed up, ready to jump in. They're certainly when I say ready, they've got their deposits, be it by way of 30, 40, in some cases 50% deposits, as they share openly on these platforms. But interesting, the things that I take from these chats across those groups, Martin, is who the areas that they're targeting and the bandwidth or the price point that they're targeting. And unfortunately, it's in that bandwidth that where you would expect a lot of the first home buyers to want to move into, which is between your 800 and your one, in your million bandwidth, because they see that as the best return for investment. And in the areas where people have gone in over the past 2 years and bought in the peak with all these government subsidies and government stimulus packages that have been given and all this issue. And now they see that they're going to be in a lot of strife, and it's the areas that you often talk about where there's greater mortgage stress, which then, as you and I know, over a period of time, that mortgage stress, whether it be a year or 2 years or get out earlier, is then you get into mortgage delinquency. So they're really getting ready to buy into these areas. And why? Because obviously because of the next great thing, and that is the talks now of the migration intake by the current government and the increase in the migration intake, and albeit also, as they say, the skilled labour intake, which again, you and I have been talking about it even before the election. We've been talking about the different things and what was going to happen and how the migration policies and were changing, and how the areas of the mapping as to what's going to make it easier for people to apply and get easier pathways into Australia, by how they were reclassifying areas such as Newcastle is now classified as regional, Wollongong's classified as regional, and therefore if you say that you're coming to Newcastle, you're coming to Wollongong, you obviously get an extra 10 points because you're going to a regional centre. Mm. So the declassification or the dilution of these policies are going to be making it easier And the changes to the policies of late is they're making it somewhat harder for people that that don't speak the language. So therefore, again, we've started talking about where we've got to pay attention to where our premier was headed to, and he was headed to Southeast Asia, to the to countries where the migrants that they're bringing into the country now can speak English and can basically slot into a trade, into a work environment, into somewhere where English isn't going to be as much of a barrier, notwithstanding where over the last 7 or 8 years the push has been for Chinese migration. But now we're going steering away from that, and here we are. We're now in that, and the people that are coming over under these visas, Martin, is where I say that, and this is where the WeChat chatters, I believe, have got it. They've hit the nail on the head. It's the communities where they're going to be going into other communities where you would expect the first home buyers, the local first home buyers, to enter the market in that bandwidth, which is the greater bandwidth, price bandwidth. But it's these communities when they move in there, and then they amass with that type of demographic. Well, guess what? It just becomes another cabramatta where you get you can't get into the area for less than $1.2-1.3 million. It becomes another, to an extent, another five doc, where unless you're Italian, you're part of the mafia, or you've got $5 million, you can't get into the suburb. These sort of clusters where there's greater demand, and what does that do? It makes our local first home buyers position unaffordable to come into what would have otherwise been affordable.
Absolutely. And we'll just put this one up. This is actually the announcement that Labour is going to bring in tens of thousands more migrants. And, they're talking about core migration at 200,000, which is harder than it's been. And they're talking about bringing people in with specific skills and capabilities, including more tradies, can you believe? And as you say, it's really going to further distort the property market. Of course, in my post today, I sort of rather jokingly said, whoopee, it'll save the property market, because, of course, all these people potentially will buy. But a lot of them won't be buying. A lot of them will actually be going directly into the rental sector. So it's going to put even more pressure on the rental sector.
Well, that's right. And I've got a second title for that video, if you release it again, which is the Forgotten People. Call it the Forgotten People. Yeah, what about the local renters? Because, yeah, exactly, and you're on point, Martin, with that, and that is it's going to put so much more pressure on the rental side of things. And these politicians that think that a lot of these families are going to be coming, these groups that are going to be coming, and they're going to be residing in apartments, they've got rocks in their heads. Seriously, they really haven't thought about it very closely, and you're going to have a they're going to be they're family oriented. Some will be coming a lot. I would say will be coming with a bit of money in the pocket. And obviously, once you've got PR and you've got a permanent job, which is the whole purpose of this migration policy or intake. And once you're stable, they're going to be looking for homes. They're not going to be looking for apartments, because the Chinese communities were looking for apartments, and that was their cup of tea. But the communities that are coming now under these policies or these changes to the policies and the mandates now, they steer away from apartments. It may be a short-term position that they take whilst they save, but they will be looking more at homes, and whether it be newer on smaller blocks of land or preferably older on bigger blocks of land, homes is where it's going to be. Hence the reason why you've got the local Chinese WeChat chatterers are looking specifically at these areas to invest in, because they can see from a rental point of view this is where they're going to get the greater yields, the better yields, and get the better returns from an investment point of view, particularly if you come in with a 30-40% deposit as opposed to a 5% deposit, which the government so much pushes.
Absolutely. Well, they're going to announce this as part of the conferencey thing about jobs and what have you in September, and then there are going to be new migration targets in the October budget. So that's the time frame. And I covered some of this in the show today. And in my show, I went through a whole bunch of issues with regard to the current counts on listings and also on auction clearances. But, you know, my fundamental problem is that they're basically following exactly the same playbook as the other side of politics, trying to bring more people in. And as you say, they're going to distort the market more. It's going to make it harder for locals to be able to buy property. But it might put a bit of a floor under property price falls, which have been dropping quite significantly in recent times. So I guess that goes back to what we said a few months ago. Big lever, migration, open it up, stop property prices falling as far.
Look, definitely. And look, anecdotally, we also have the, you know, on the, let's say, the 2 million to 3 million band, with that are predominantly what we've been filtering, or what, not filtering, what we've been servicing via email and calls, as I shared with one of our followers earlier today, was the, you know, we got a lot of expats wanting to come back home now. We're getting a lot of inquiry around that. And these are people that have been overseas for, you know, the last 12, 15, 17 years, and they're looking at coming back. Brendan brought up in our conversations, brought up the fact that there's over 100,000 expats that are currently working and living in Silicon Valley. Mm. Potentially, I mean, they've made a lot of coin, and potentially, you know, you could have a lot of them coming back given the nature of what's happening over in the US. So it's interesting. The dynamics are very, very interesting as to, you know, what's happening. The chats, obviously none of this transcends into automatic slowdowns or stops the falls automatically. It takes a bit of time. It plays out over months, and particularly now, as you and I said, it was going to be, or always going to be, you know, towards the end of the year, worst case scenario at the beginning of next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it does take time, and of course the migration processes don't fire up. But it's interesting that they've also been, according to something I was reading the other day, they've got something like 10,000 visa applications a week coming into the academic sector as well. So these are students from overseas trying to come back. And of course, the new visa structures they've got allows them to work a lot more as well. So that's another sort of factor in the mix.
Yeah, look, it is. And these is going to be, again, they're going to transition into your ghost migrants. So your ghost visa holders or ghost migrants, you know, basically overstaying. The education visa, the student visa that they get. But again, it's really a push for a different demographic. So we're going to see changes in a lot of groundswelling in terms of prices, both from a rental and from a sale point of view, potentially in these areas where these communities are going to be gravitating towards. So we're already pegging as to where things are going to move. More or less where things are going to come to a halt in terms of pricing, and we're potentially going to be picking up early next year. And who knows? Depending on the numbers that they bring in, but definitely this rental crisis that is just being allowed to avalanche. It's, I just don't understand why the politicians don't see it much.
No, well, I suppose the short answer is that there's less than 50% of people rent. Right? There's more people who own property, and so if you can actually get those who own property and those who have a mortgaged property on side, you don't need the renters actually. They don't count. That's part of it.
Yeah, look, it's a crazy world, and sometimes you sort of want to say, look, can you somebody stop the world from spinning, because I really want to get off.
I want to do an alt control delete and start again. We'll see whether exactly. we can reboot it. Now let's just go into the numbers, because the numbers are still shooting up, right? 19,115.
Yeah, that's right. It's the highest start that we've seen so far. Mm. But then again, spring is in the horizon. We're only a couple of weeks away from spring. Spring starts the first day of next month. Obviously, it's going to be about two or three weeks into September when we're going to really see numbers climb. The question is how quickly and how high they're going to get. We're already reaching, we're getting close to 2018 numbers, and in terms of freestanding homes. The interesting thing, Martin, is that from the numbers is apartments, the rise in apartment numbers for sale have slowed down. And I can't but stop to think and wonder, is because of all that's been happening in China, and because of the, again, like we said, a couple of months ago, the Chinese politics and economy and everything just turns on a dime there in China. One week is one thing, and another week is another thing. Now, I get the feeling that a lot of the sales that would have happened with regards to apartments, and the reason why they've slowed down is because of all the issues that are happening in China, and people wanting to jump ship, get out because of future concerns that they have, the war, economic issues, small businesses closing down all over the place. So that could be a factor. I'm just speculating, but I have seen a slowdown in apartment numbers rising. So I would say that's more than likely what is happening. But that's just me. But the house numbers, on the other hand, are really climbing. And again, I get the feeling it's from what we've been saying over and over again, is the empty nesters. It costs a lot to maintain a home now, with supply chain issues, with the trades have increased in some cases anywhere up to 40. Today was talking to an architect with regards to a couple of projects that we've got going, and from where we were 4 months ago, there's been in certain pricings for goods and for labour, there's been we've noted a 47% increase just in 4 months. So now it's choosing cheaper materials because labour, you can't say you can choose cheaper labour because there's just nothing out there. So people are, and also the word on the streets has been that a lot of older people that can't maintain the big homes are basically that they're opting out. In spring could see a greater rise in those numbers. You've also got investors that have held on to properties for 30, 40, 50 years that are saying, well, you know what? I don't have a cent on it. Might as well cash out now. And again, the cost to maintain the properties because of the legislation and the regulations around tenancy is costing them a lot more money to maintain these properties. So therefore, it's cheaper and it's better. It's timely for them to get out as well. So that's why we're going to see numbers climb for houses as well in the over spring.
Interesting sidebar. I was reading today that the number of older households who have applied to Centrelink to get effectively a reverse mortgage from Centrelink, which you can do under circumstances, has gone very, very high. So a lot of people who are sitting on properties and maybe also have a pension are now actually tapping into the equity of their property through Centrelink. And it's basically they don't pay any interest, or at least they don't have to pay on the way through, but the interest accrues and then right at the end, when they come to sell the property. At the moment, the interest rate is 3.95%, which relative to other mortgages is actually not bad.
And there you go, Martin. It's the cost of maintaining these properties, and they are fairly big. Not only that, but also the rains over the last couple of years has just basically exposed a lot more issues in a lot more areas that we've been talking about regularly with, which has made it even costlier to maintain. Yep. And again, we go back to the 2020 regulation changes to the tenancy laws. And if you're going to have an investment, it's not as stringent as we would like it to be. It's going to get more stringent, but that's going to take more time. But even the immediate changes has meant that landlords have had to put their hand in their pocket and cough up some money to maintain the properties that have been left by and by and have not been attended to for potentially for a whole decade, if not more.
Absolutely. Well, we see quite a lot of that through our work as well. We just touch on the auctions. So the auction clearances were actually a little bit higher in Sydney this week, interestingly, but they're still relatively benign compared to last year. So I don't think that many are going back to auction now. Many people are actually preferring to sell before or around or instead of auction.
Yeah, look, the numbers are certainly not there in order to, you know, to pull in the expectations on the day. I think the campaigns are changing, and again, it's the sentiment. We've got a little bit more numbers on market, going to market via auction this weekend than last weekend. But look, I think those numbers are going to increase anyway because, again, the nature of the season. Seasonally, we'll see an increase in we're going to see an increase in properties for sale. So therefore, from a percentage point of view, we're going to also see an increase in by way of sale, by way of auction. The other thing is, of course, is the agent's pretense to push for auction is the fact that it gets people to make a quicker decision. Well, whether you agree to that philosophy or whether you don't, that's one thing for sure is that agents know that if they don't get a quick sale, potentially they're going to lose the listing and it's going to go to the next one. That to me is more of the reason why there's a greater push. I wish it was a push for the vendors to maximize the sale value of the property. I wish that was the reason, but unfortunately, I know it's not. And again, that's just because of being involved in the industry, what I've heard, what I've read, what I know, or talked to over the last 2.5 decades with how auctions are involved and the reasons around it and the training that's been provided around it. And that's my take. But we're going to see the numbers rise, and potentially, look, we could see the auction clearance rates as the mainstream media hang their hat on. That could also increase, but it's more of a reason around the traps that vendors are reducing their expectations and agents are hammering the vendors a lot harder to reduce their expectations on the day because, again, they want to secure a sale to secure their commission and also secure a sale in a way for the vendor as well. So it's I don't you know me, I don't really pay that much attention to it. Other than report on it because every other Joe seems to be hung up on the clearance rates. To me, they really don't mean much.
No, well, they're fudge numbers on fudge numbers, so I don't really take much notice of them. But there's a little bit more interest with these numbers. This is actually the rental numbers, which is quite interesting. 11,035 properties for rent in the Sydney region.
Look, yes, in the Sydney region, and but there's only 4,075 homes for rent, as of an hour or so ago when I did that screenshot. So it's not a lot of properties for rent in comparison to previous, historically. So it's something that that there's not a lot, and hence the reason why you've got this rental stress. Oh, look, the other thing that could happen, Martin, is because of the impact that this whole thing continues to have on tourism. It wouldn't surprise me if we're going to get a reverse migration from Queensland back to New South
Yep.
Wales.
I'm actually seeing it, Edwin. I've had in the last 2 weeks, I've had three conversations, which.
Oh my God, Martin! Just stop talking about it.
So that they basically. Over the last 18 months, moved up to Queensland, and it's all turned to water. So they're now looking to get out and come back. Three separate conversations.
Come on, say that. You say you're such a you're such a conservative person. I say it's all turned to shit.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Say it in Spanish. It's all turned to caca. There you go. It's easier.
Very, very good. But no, it does make the point, though, that things are changing, and partly because the dynamics in Queensland have changed. So what's happening there is that some of the values are beginning to come back. Some of the economics of property up there have now completely changed because the rates have gone up, interest rates have gone up. So what was cheap is now less cheap for people. And there's also, interestingly, two of the three said to me, they actually don't like the Queensland climate. I'd have thought you might check that out before you decided to go north, but hey.
Each to their own. And if you can, afford to do it, and the cost. Interesting with all that, the transaction, the stamp duty costs on the way up, and the stamp duty costs on the way back is just, burns the other pocket. But look, I'm just saying that from my own observations and from what from what we read and what we see. We look broadly. And also, I guess because historically, my being involved in, the industry for 2.5 decades and longer involved in buying and selling property, it's that's the nature of the cycle. It goes up in all these other states, but then when it comes back down, it's got the potential to come back down a lot harder. And a lot quicker than what New South Wales or Sydney in general does.
Absolutely, yeah, I think we're going to see volatility. But now we should do the what's wackier than a conspiracy. I have to make a jingle for it. Well, no, I'll have to make a jingle. Anyway, what's wackier than a conspiracy? And the answer is, well, you can actually earn more by gyprocking than being a medical person.
Well, that's it. Forex Max Payne, I call him Dr. Payne on Twitter. He's one of our followers. And he put out that tweet with regards to why our clinic no longer bulk bills, and about a video, and it's the reality of what's going on. It brings to the forefront as to the issues that highly qualified and trained professionals such as the doctors that effectively they study for 5 years and have to go do an internship for a year or two or whatever it is, depending on whether or not they become specialists. But when I saw this, when I read this, and when I actually saw the video that he posted on his tweet, I was absolutely gobsmacked that after 5-6 years of doing medicine at university, you literally at the moment these professionals are walking away with $390 per day. I mean, I've got gyp rockers that want $500 cash in the hand per day, otherwise they don't turn up for work. So, I mean, this is when the world is really upside down, Martin. And this is why I put this in this post. This is wackier than a conspiracy theory. The governments are being so focused on the property economics that health and other relevant issues to the longevity of a wholesome society is just decaying, just coming apart.
No, it is, Edwin, and it's a bit shameful, really, when you think about how the relativities work. And it's good that they're talking about raising the wage level for aged care and those sorts of things, and perhaps for nursing as well, because those people do an amazing job and they do it because they care. I mean, I had experience when Jill was very ill, lots of people in from the caring services. They were great, but, they just paid a pittance. And it's because the economics just don't work right for those people. They should be definitely earning a little more, because their value to society, I would argue, is a whole lot greater than people who can gyp rock. No disrespect to gyp rockers, because we need them, but the relativities are all over the place.
Oh, look, it is, and we've got a very good friend she works in the Chinese space as a home carer, or worked up to about 2 months ago. She's done a full transition now. She's now working as a masseur in a Westfield shopping centre. And she makes more money working as a masseur in a shopping centre than she ever did as a home carer for the for this particular organisation that predominantly looked after the Chinese community that are in greater need, because the elderly don't speak a word of English and they just can't get around. So she'd take them shopping, she'd do all sorts of errands with them, and that's part of the job. But now she's working, and this is working as a masseur in general, and she's less stressed. She gets home, more in time to spend, in a timely way, to spend more time with her daughter that needs her as well. You know, and this is, one would say, off the cuff, she's got a happy ending rather than being stressed out, working 6 days a week, running around from 8 o'clock in the morning till sometimes she was telling us that she doesn't get home till about 8 o'clock, 7, 8 o'clock at night, because when she does her last job, it's in the North Shore somewhere. But by the time she got home to where she lived, it would take her an hour and a half in traffic.
Absolutely. Well, it just shows to show that society and governments need to value some of these caring services way more than they currently do, unfortunately. Now let's move another story. This is the old underquote, right? Now this is the Victorian underquote story, which we'll throw up, right? From Catherine Cashmore, actually. Another example why underquoting laws are utterly useless and were never designed to either prevent or stop the practice. Oh dear.
Yeah. Well, this is in our segment. Yeah, we told you so. Segment. We told you. I've been talking about this for how long? They're not interested in the abusers and the perpetrators of these of underquoting, because the people that sit at the boards, the people that make the decisions, are part of the REIs. Seriously. Catherine, it's when she put up that tweet, I thought it was interesting, and then I followed up with, an off the cuff remark, and I said, mate, they used the classic defence on the appeal. That's why they didn't get fined. The vendor made me do it, and that was Enzo's. The then president put out that that remark at that time in the article that we're going to share later on today, part of it in the Twitter rant, in the Twitter argument that George and myself got into with the then president of the REI, Victoria. And I said, they use the vendor made me do it. It's you can find that in section 129, part one, subsection 2 of the REI defence manual for members that get caught. They've got a whole manual.
So my question was, did you make that section up or does it exist?
No, I made it up.
It sounded so official. I was very impressed.
Look, I reckon it. I think it exists. Yeah, I've got to call the FBI, see if they can raid Enzo's house and give me some info. But I don't know. But look, it's just one of those things, Martin. But then George brought up this old article, the actual article, and this goes back to October 2012. The REB put out, and for people that want to follow up on that article, this is because I don't know whether George took screenshots of. We were in a full-on battle. We were just George and I were just going hammer and tong at the simple fact, and this is what we're saying even before 2012. Where we've been commenting about, and I've been writing about underquoting and the issues around it. And so it's not new. And now, after all this time, Martin, and after all the so-called changes to legislation here in New South Wales and Victoria and doing this and doing that, they're not interested. They are simply, the powers to be are simply not interested, because the people that govern them, the people that aren't necessarily part of their the government, but they sit on higher pedestals. They sit on how can I put it? That they wield a bigger rod than the government does, and things aren't going to change until you start changing the nature of the of within the halls of the REIs. You're not going to get any of these changes. So it's really a slap in the face.
Yep. Follow the money, Edwin. Follow the money.
Exactly.
That's the problem, because at the moment, everybody needs to understand that the protections that are there are pretty superficial, and there are many people with huge vested interests all the way through from the planning and construction through to the ongoing management through to the all the other rules and everything else. They're not really serious about cleaning up the mess. That's the bottom line. They're not really serious.
No, they're not, and this goes back even this goes back to a lot of the other legislative changes that we've had in the last decade and a half around foreign, the Foreign Investment Review Board. When I was vocal about that, talking to the president at that time, Christian Payne, when I was talking to him, and I was involved with the REI New South Wales and the CEO, when I was voicing the concerns, in back as even going as far back as 2008, 2009, when I was saying, "What? When are the REI going to take a stand against against the spruikers and the marketing companies that are really taking, taking the bread and butter away from the local agency?" So, they're not really interested in change,
No.
as you say, Martin. It's all about following the money and who's benefiting. And then we got, what did we get? Well, I'll tell you what we got at that time was we got LJ Hooker, Century 21, and I think it may have been Raine & Horne, could be wrong, but they started promoting their own financial products as well. So again, like you say, Mark, follow the money.
Follow the money. Exactly right.
Yeah, and these people sit on those boards that make those decisions that are in the REIs that are supposed to benefit the community, which they don't.
No, and just adding to that, Edwin, of course, you can have the rules, but unless there is an enforcement regime, unless there's somebody checking that people are actually doing what they should be doing and take action when they don't, then you can have all the rules you like and it makes no difference.
Yeah, well, that's right. I think I'll stop myself. I was going to say something, but I've stopped myself.
Very good.
I don't want to create more editing issues for you on this video.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, as we come to the end of the show, Edwin, as normal, you have a tip for the week, and well, this is a biggie, actually.
Look, we've been talking. We've skirted around, or we've spoken about issues moving forward. And look, with a lot of the issues that renters are facing, with a lot of the issues that homeowners are facing, with mortgage stress, with all the stresses that are around. Well, talking to our legal eagles, everywhere we turn, they've all got one thing in front of mind, and that is the increase in crime that they're seeing at all levels. And whether it's a byproduct of something else, but there's just such an increase of because of the anger, because of the issue. So, thinking about our property segment and what does it all mean? Look, as it gets worse before it gets better, and as we're getting moving closer to I would say where we really haven't felt the pain of the floods. And the issues around the cost of living because of the nature of the price hikes that we're going to see towards the end of the year. I'm just thinking to myself, well, what can we what is a good tip? And I think the good tip for our followers is start securing your property. Start to, whether you own it or whether you rent it. It's harder to I'm hearing a lot of from clients and people, family and friends that have got properties in apartment buildings. They're basically the garages because they're all open slather over there. They've only got one, like the automatic roller door, which is supposed to be secure, but it's not. I mean, garages have just been ransacked. People are just losing. There's a lot of petty crime around Westfields as well, shops, shopping centres. And people are running around, and in a way, you'd sort of expect that this is the this would come from a low social economic areas where you would say, there's a lot of vagrancy and there's a lot of historic, historically, the government's really have turned a blind eye to the issues that are happening in these areas. But no, what we're getting, Martin, is we're getting a lot of these. Issues and arising in the affluent suburbs, in the affluent areas, your North Shores and your Eastern suburbs.
No, I agree. And there's two elements just to add to that. The first is make sure that if you have an alarm system fitted, that is actually working effectively, because many people actually have them and never turn them on. Well, maybe it's a good thing just to make sure that they do work, and also to make sure that if you do have locks and things on your windows, that they are actually functional so that when you need to lock them, you can. And the other is that people are very lax on the old insurance end of things too, right? And in the current environment and in the environment ahead, it's worth just making sure that you've got sufficient cover from an insurance perspective, because unfortunately, I think the loss rates are on the way up. And I was talking to someone the other day who is very much connected with the police, and they are seeing more and more and more cases of you know, sometimes petty crime, but nevertheless significant crime. And a lot of it's to do with opportunistic access to properties when people haven't locked the properties properly, and come in and, you know, nick something and disappear again. And that's simply because of where we are with the economic cycle, simply because people are desperate to get whatever they can. And you're dead right about the areas. It isn't just, you know, the ones you might first think. Actually, some of the more salubrious areas are actually being targeted, and people are actually coming into those areas from other parts of Sydney and other parts of the country similarly, and are basically going on a spree, just, you know, knocking over a few properties.
Yeah, look, and this is all part and parcel where the governments that got us, the governments have got us to, and where we are. Yes, we are going, we did go through 2 years of pandemic, but you know, the priorities are just upside down, and unfortunately, people are in stress. And you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, you sort of almost say to yourself, "Well, who can blame them?" Because people that wouldn't have otherwise got involved with petty crime and the like, and they are, because you know, you don't know what needs of that they've got. I mean, yes, they may live a fancy swanky house or a property, but are they meeting the day-to-day bills? What are they going without in order to keep that, you know, swanky property?
Yep, absolutely. Well, you may know that some of my stress figures are not just in those outer suburban areas, but we're seeing them in more affluent suburbs too. So there are people in those areas who are also struggling with cash flow and all those things. So it unfortunately takes no prisoners. So, you know, forearmed is forewarned, or forewarned is forearmed, or whatever the right way around to put it. And so I think it's a good tip, Edwin. And as always, thank you for your insights tonight. Appreciated. And we'll do it all again next week. And we'll try not to dream up new things to talk about, because they tend to come true.
They do, Martin. Let's leave it for now, because I'm sure we're going to have a few things to talk about next week as this world keeps on spinning. Absolutely. I don't know whether it's spinning faster or slower, and we're just taking more notice of things. But anyway, everyone take care, and yeah, look after yourselves, and start preparing for the spring rush.
Absolutely. Thanks, Edwin. Take care. See you later.